hear the word of the Lord. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Ask the Lord to bless this time with his word. Father, long ago, in many ways, through many people, through angels, you spoke to the fathers, the prophets, and reminded right now that when you just spoke simple, clear, common sense things, like don't kill each other, obey your mommy and your daddy, don't steal, that the mount shook and was inflamed and smoked. And then, by your infinite kindness, the law that came through Moses was fulfilled through grace and truth that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, who spoke from a boat and on a mountain and in a garden and on a cross, who spoke alive from the tomb. Would you speak, Father, through your holy word, make us alive? Would you speak through your holy word and cut us and all the way down into our inner being, to our conscience? And would your word be fruitful, just like the rain is, in your people, these saints? In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of things before we get into the sermon. I just want to say thank you to all those that worked and walked in the parade yesterday, representing fellowship, and then representing fellowship in all the other areas and in the town. That was encouraging. I want to let you know that next week, Patty and Emmy Lobsher and Asia and myself will be gone. We're all going to a retreat. So next week, Matthew Hartline from First Baptist Cobden will be preaching in the morning. It'll be small groups in the evening. Then 2 weeks from today, Obed will be here preaching. And we're going to have him preach in the morning on the 20th. And then in the evening, we're going to have a joint service with other churches as he informs us about the work of the ministry over there. For he'll only be here on one Sunday in Southern Illinois this go-around. Also, this will be in the announcements, but November 8th through the 10th up at Camp Ondesonk, Ozark Baptist is putting on their retreat. And I'm speaking to that. And I just want to encourage any children ages 10 through 17 to get signed up for that. We need chaperones as well. Last year was the first year that we did it, and it was very encouraging. So I just want to encourage you, don't wait till November 7th to say, oh, what are we going to do? Please sign up for that. We hope, we're working on the logistics, we hope to have a joint worship service with Ozark out there that week, as long as we can make sure every member of the church can get to where we're going to worship. I believe we'll be able to drive right up to that for any seniors and be easy to get there. But we're working on that. That'll be in November. I want to praise the Lord for the baptisms that we had today. God is good. God is so good and kind and gracious. We have another one this afternoon at 2 p.m. We needed to accommodate some special family situations, which are in direct relation to last week's message that Brother Jordan brought you. And so we're going to do that at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you would, go and have some lunch and come back at 2 o'clock and celebrate with Eli as we baptize him this afternoon. At this time, just some informational things happening. I want to introduce a few saints that's seeking membership so you can get to know them before next meeting. I'm going to point out Ed and Diane Annable are seeking to join Fellowship Baptist, and also Malik and Izzy. I see Izzy and I don't see Malik. I bet he's got a baby somewhere. But if you would, just fellowship members, if you would get to know them, invite them to your homes, have discussion about their faith, and we'll be taking that up at our next meeting. So previously, after we finished Romans, I said I wanted to speak on a hodgepodge, couple of different topics, and ended up finding all of them here in Acts that I want to talk about. So the first week, we talked about the importance of meals and gathering around a table to eat. We saw this in the text where they gathered in the homes, breaking bread together, that God does a work around these tables, right? And then last time I preached, we talked about the importance of prayer and what God's doing in prayer, and that we are seeking Him, seeking to hear from Him and humble ourselves before Him and be united to Him and have fellowship with Him in prayer. And then today, I want to talk out of chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 42, there where it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We didn't cover that in the hodgepodge because we had just taught through the whole book of Romans, which is the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of believers, the fellowship of the saints. And I want to talk about that today. I'll be honest, I'm very apprehensive today, and so I guess I don't have a joke written in here, but I can't get this out of my mind. It's not a joke, but the wise sage Nate Bargatze, if you know who he is, he's a comedian. He's a Christian man, and he's funny, but he says one of the ways in which the internet has ruined us is because the internet has brought in an age where certain things will no longer happen. And in case you are thinking he's actually wise, he's not. Because the thing he is regretful that doesn't happen is men fighting bears. So used to, the carnivals would come through, right? And they would come into a town and they would advertise, put your gloves on and go fight these bears. And some idiots would put boxing gloves on and get in the ring and get beat up by a bear. And then the carnival would go to the next town. Well, now, if anybody showed up and said, hey, would you like to fight a bear? What are you going to do? You're going to put fighting bear. Do people fight bears? You're going to see what happens to people that fight bears, and you're not going to do it. So they don't do it anymore. But the relation to that is preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, trying to come in contact with the Creator of the universe often feels like, I'm getting ready to fight a bear. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to handle this God that's incomprehensible, wise above our comprehension. He's absolutely everywhere, all the time, ever present, omnipresent, and all powerful. He stops armies in their tracks. He has ordained our next president that we're going to go vote on next month. And here we are going to talk about fellowshipping with Him. But what else are we going to do? Shrink away from the task? Rocks will cry out. We can't not seek this God. First thing I want to talk about is, what is fellowship? What is fellowship? In Acts 2:42, they were devoted to the fellowship. This definition is this Greek word. I imagine many of you have heard koinonia. And it's a partnership. That's literally participation in intercourse or benefaction. It's translated communion often in the King James. That's the way they would have spoken in the early 1600s. Webster defines fellowship as companionship, a society, consort, mutual association of persons on equal or friendly terms. Now, we're talking about the fellowship of the believers. Yeah, that sounds like what a church is. Man, you can say that about your local association of bricklayers. You can say that about the Masons. You can say that about your Republican Party or your Democrat Party. Well, they're companionship, society, consort, mutual association. The church is not like any of those things. The church is the body of Christ, so we need to find out, well, what is this koinonia? What is fellowship that is different in the body of Christ than it is anywhere else on the planet? I think the way to find that is in the Bible. Let's look at how this word is interpreted and used in the New Testament. The first one I want to point you to, and you can write these down, or you can use your Bible and turn to them. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says that when James and Peter and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, that's the leaders of the apostles in Jerusalem, when they perceived that grace had been given to me, that's Paul, when they realized Paul's actually born again, that he used to try to kill us, and now he's a Christian and grace has been given to him, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. He said, when they realized that God had actually saved me and took me from trying to kill them to preaching this glorious gospel, they gave me the right hand of koinonia, the right hand of fellowship, which meant we're in this together. You go to this group and preach to the Gentiles and we'll preach to the Jewish people. So it is something that brings people together that used to be enemies. John, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, says that we have that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim, that's Jesus, so that you too may have fellowship with us. So John's writing this letter and saying, we're teaching you about Jesus so that you can have fellowship with us. And when you hear us, you need to hear apostles and early church. You need to think Pentecost. You need to be thinking about the people you read about in the book of Acts. And Paul's writing to those that the gospel is going to. He says, you need to have fellowship with us through this gospel. And then he adds this, and indeed our fellowship, our koinonia, is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So now this fellowship isn't just, well, it brings enemies together. And it's not just you in the future or you over there are now with us in spirit. He says, this koinonia, this fellowship that we're talking about today, that they were devoted to, is with the Son and with the Father, with God. The fellowship that the believers are to have with one another is very similar to in the model of the fellowship we are to have with God. In fact, I'd say you do have with God if you're born again. That's amazing. It's deeper than first thought. And now it's compared to our relationship. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom, by God, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That the omnipowerful God of the universe called you if you're a Christian, called you personally if you're a Christian, said, come to me, and you came. And He did not cast you out. And He says that calling is into fellowship, koinonia, with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about being devoted to fellowship in the body of Christ. Another interesting way to say it is Paul in Philippians, where he says, I want to know Him. Paul's saying, I want to know Jesus, the power of His resurrection, and share in His sufferings. That word share is koinonia. I want to fellowship in His sufferings. I want to be one with Him in His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death. Paul's saying, I want to have such koinonia with the Lord Jesus Christ that I am conformed into His image. Does that language ring a bell out of Romans? It's what we're called to. Our destiny is being conformed into the image of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. How does this happen? 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So now we have the whole Trinity in this fellowship. It's from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit. This fellowship that we're talking about cannot be counterfeited by a baseball team or even a country. It's a miracle by the work of God by which we are in Christ and therefore one body in Christ and united in fellowship together as believers. This is absolutely amazing. Now here, under this section on definition, I want to show you something that encouraged me and that I find very interesting, is that there's times in which this word koinonia is used in relation to money. Let me show you something. Now remember, put this in your mind and sift it through these next few verses, through this verse. Matthew 6:21, I think many of you have heard this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is teaching that wherever you're putting your money, that's what you care about. Wherever you invest your treasure, that's what you care about. If you want to know what you love, I used to say, look at your checkbook. But nobody uses checkbooks anymore. So I guess look at your app. Look at where your money's going, and you'll see where your heart is going. Now, Paul says, and we taught in Romans 15:26, in Macedonia and Achaia, they were pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Remember that? Where they made contribution? They gave their money from these two regions because there was poor saints in Jerusalem? Guess what that word contribution is in the Greek? Koinonia, fellowship, partnership, sharing. For these Christians in Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some fellowship for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Their partnership, their togetherness was displayed in the fact, and I would say proven by the fact, that they sent their hard-earned money to saints they had never met before. And since their money went there, their heart was there, and that proved the koinonia, the fellowship. Another one is in 2 Corinthians 8:4, begging us earnestly, this is Macedonians again, for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They're like, how can we help? How can we take part in relief of these saints? They're asking, how can we koinonia? How can we fellowship? How can we partner? How can we, in our hearts, be with them? And how are their hearts given to them? Through giving of financial gifts to those that were in need. One more, Hebrews 13, 16. The writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That word, shares, koinonia. Don't forget to do good and fellowship with the things that you have. This fellowship that God in His infinite grace gives us through regeneration with the Lord Jesus Christ and through making us a body in Christ as a local church is supernatural. And it can be seen by what we treasure and where our treasure goes. There's even a test for koinonia. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, a church with all kinds of problems, just wicked sin, horrible doctrine being taught by some people, and Paul just out of love, writing them, warning them. And one of the things they were doing was partnering with unbelievers and glorifying God. And Paul says, this is that famous verse many of you have heard, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Especially, this is in context of marriage and in context of the local church. That, you know, the unequally yoked means, so kids used to, they would have like two oxen or two big bulls or something pulling a plow, and that board that kept them together was a yoke. And if you can't yoke an ox with a poodle, right? That'd be unequally yoked. And you would look at that and say, obviously it doesn't go together. And that's what Paul's saying here. There's some things that just obviously don't go together. And what he says here, he says, what partnership does righteousness have to do with lawlessness? He's talking about a church that has a regenerate membership, people that are actually born again. And then he says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What koinonia? What partnership on an intimate level is light and darkness? And it's impossible. It's light and darkness is further apart than a poodle and an ox. For if you have a shoebox and you tape it shut, it's completely dark in there. If you put one little lumen of light in there, it's not dark anymore. It's just really dim. It's some shade of light. For you cannot put light and darkness together. It's absolutely impossible. As soon as light shows up, you no longer have any darkness. It's just some shade of light. And he's saying, what type of fellowship, what type of koinonia do these have? And he says, they obviously don't. And so the warning there, in thinking of the local church, the warning there in thinking of marriages and businesses and all these relationships is, Christians, don't get under a yoke with something that you don't have fellowship with. Another warning about koinonia is out of 1 John chapter 1, 6 through 7. If we say we have koinonia with him, if we say we have fellowship with him, that's Jesus, we're confessing to be a believer, while we walk in darkness, I mean sin, if we say, oh, I'm with Jesus, I have fellowship with Jesus, intimate relationship, communion with Jesus, and yet I walk in darkness, meaning I sin openly and I don't repent, I don't ask for forgiveness, I don't try to change, I don't try to grow. He says, if we say that, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have koinonia with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Doesn't say we don't have sin. It says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from that sin. But part of walking in the light is it getting brighter, walking to Jesus. This fellowship, this koinonia with Jesus changes us. And the test of fellowship proves whether we're actually a Christian or not. So the definition of fellowship, fellowship of the saints is what we're talking about today. We can see through the scripture that it exposes whether we're in Christ or not. It exposes where our treasure and where our heart actually is. The relationship we're to have as a body of Christ is in direct relationship to our relationship with our God. So if we have that fellowship, who do we have it with? Well, I think in those warnings, you just saw that. So this type of fellowship in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Who do you have that with? Well, it tells us in that verse, they. That's who you have that fellowship with. They. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Well, who's they? Well, just move your eyes up a couple of millimeters, and you'll see in verse 41. So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This was on the day of Pentecost. Who's they? Those that has received the word and were baptized. Those that repented of their sin and believed the gospel that Peter preached that day and were baptized. That's who they are. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the koinonia. And as I said from Paul's teaching in 2 Corinthians, that we are not to be unequally yoked. That's one of the reasons having a church and a state mixed together doesn't work, because you're born into a state. You're born, your citizenship is in your birth. Your membership in a church, your position in a church is in your new birth. And his body is his believers that are born again by faith. So simply put, who do we have fellowship with? Those that have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's who. That's who we have koinonia. Am I saying, oh, you need to go quit your ball team, you need to quit your job? No. But you need a category in your mind of what is fellowship and what is being in this world for the glory of God. There's all kinds of relationships we have that are not fellowship. Fellowship is through the Father, Son, and Spirit, and therefore the church. In fact, it's the only way we can have true fellowship. A picture that I've mentioned before that you often use in marriage. How do you, when you're doing pre-marriage counseling and marriage counseling, say, okay, here's God and here's you, and you're apart from one another. You need to grow together. The way you grow together is not you two figure out who needs to change. It is you both get conformed into the image of Jesus, and as you are conformed into the image of Jesus, you are growing together because you're both becoming like Him. So some of you might be getting rid of laziness and some might getting rid of workaholic, but you're both becoming like Jesus. You can take any topic. Now you take a church and instead of two people in marriage, you have 150, 170, and they're all to be changed. The ways I need to change are not the same way you need to change. But the direction in which we change is the same. I need to be conformed by the power of God through faith into the image of Jesus Christ through the power of His Spirit. That's exactly what you need. We're starting in different places. We've got different histories, different struggles, different addictions. But we're going to the same place. So that's who we have fellowship with. We are not to have fellowship with someone that is going to a different place. How do we do this? Well, I think it's in this text, and I think it's much more simple than we make it out to be. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Let's just look at it. This is what they did. Here's the verb. They devoted themselves. Devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. One way in which you have fellowship, koinonia, with fellow believers is that you take the teachings of the apostles that came from the Lord Jesus Christ. They devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. I think in verse 42, it's talking about the Lord's Supper. You devote yourself to taking the Lord's Supper with the fellow believers. You devote yourselves to the prayers. And when you do that, verse 43, all came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed, that's the they, that were in fellowship with, were together and had all things in common. What does it mean to have all things in common? That we just become communist or socialist and we put all the money together? That's kind of what they did. They didn't become communist and socialist. But when it says they had all things in common, that doesn't mean that they took their shoes to the apostles and say, now you get me some shoes that I need. No. It says that they distributed proceeds to all who had need. That in their fellowship, in their koinonia, if someone was in need, someone that had extra gave it to them and helped them. So they shared, their treasure went where their heart was. In this koinonia. They attended, in verse 46, the temple together. That means they worshiped together. The early church gathered there at the temple and the apostles would teach. And so they attended worship together and breaking bread in their homes. This was where we talked about meals. They spent their time together eating in their homes and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were grateful and they were joyful. They were devoted to these things. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. They were devoted to being good citizens. And the Lord added day by day those who were being saved. I said absolutely nothing crazy or drastic. No silver bullet, no secret potion. How in the world do you have koinonia with people? You devote yourself to the Word of God, praying together with the Word of God, praying together, celebrating the Lord's Supper together, eating meals together, helping and making sure all are taken care of together. That's how. Just live life together and actually loving one another. It's just these normal means of grace that He's given us. We should expect God to be doing a supernatural miracle when we partake of the Lord's Supper together. More on that in a bit. We have fellowship with one another by the normal means of grace that God's given us. We have fellowship with one another when we devote ourselves to Him, His way, and His people. So here's the main point for the day, if you want to write it down. God has called all His saints into fellowship. Into fellowship with Himself and with one another in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just a very simple teaching. If He calls you to be saved and to be a Christian, He's called you to be in fellowship with Him and with the saints of God. So, just a few points in application. Devote yourselves to these simple, normal things. Devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God. Devote yourselves to praying for one another, to praying privately, praying corporately, praying, as we said last week, in school and in the store and at the job site. Pray. I encourage you to have meals together. If somebody has need, help them in their need. If you don't have what it takes to help them, bring it to the church. The deacons have run the benevolent fund, and there's finances there to help those in need. I encourage you, dear saints, to prioritize these simple, normal things in your life. One of the dangers of this modern age is that people's wanting this magic potion or this silver bullet. They want God to write on their ceiling what He wants them to do that day. And the simple truth is, He wrote it in a book what He wants you to do that day. Love Him and love your neighbor. Depend on Him through the power of the Spirit. Turn away from your sins. Christianity takes a miracle to actually live, but the idea of what it should look like is very simple. It's in the Word of God. Devote yourself to these things. There are things that God does through this church, Fellowship Baptist Church, throughout the week. Bible studies, prayer meetings, worship service, small groups, children's ministries. All these things are God's tool for you to have fellowship. And so when someone comes to me and says, I just don't feel like I know anybody. Well, what Sunday school class are you in? Well, I don't do that. What small group are you in? Sundays are tough. Mondays come early. Well, what Bible study in the week are you in? Man, work's hard and Wednesdays are late. Got ball practice, play practice. I got overtime. I got this. Everybody's got something, but they want fellowship. And they can't figure out why all these other things steal koinonia from them. And God has offered it to you. And then just in a way of warning, if you're like, well, I have fellowship in these other things. Oh, dear saint, that's not fellowship. That's not koinonia. Koinonia can only be through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of Christ. So I encourage you to prioritize devoting yourself to these normal things. One of the ways we do that, as I mentioned earlier, the Annables and the Richards are joining our church. We covenant together. After our next meeting, we vote some in. We'll have another covenant renewal. And we'll just promise each other, hey, I'm going to try to do this. By God's grace, I'm going to try to do it with you. And then the church is going to promise you, hey, by God's grace, I'm going to keep trying to do it together, and we're going to try to do it with you. That's all it is. So we're just going to walk this road together. I want to point you to the, in your bulletin there, if you have it, it's this quote from Mark Dever. Capitol Hill Baptist Church, who recently just crossed 30 years in that ministry. He says, we are all called to initiate involvement in each other's lives. So you're not waiting on somebody else to come to you. It's your job to go to them. He says, we covenant together to work and pray for unity, to walk together in love, to exercise care and watchfulness over each other, to faithfully admonish and entreat one another as occasion may require, to assemble together, to pray for each other, to rejoice and to bear with each other, and to pray for God's help in all of this. It's just a little definition of what koinonia looks like. So we're just going to try this together, but we're together. We're together. Some of these normal means of grace we witnessed already this morning. We baptized 5 people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been in Fellowship Baptist Church since 1981, and you was just as excited watching these go under that water as you was in 1981 when God brought you together. Another way is what we're getting ready to do in the Lord's Supper. We got those that were baptized going to be partaking of their first Lord's Supper with this covenant community, and it's glorious. It's absolutely glorious to confess that not only are my sins forgiven, but yours are, and proclaim that. So we're going to transition into that, and I want to pray at this time, and then I'll transition in to the Lord's Supper before I call the deacons up. Father, I ask for help to pray. I don't know how to pray as I ought to, but your Spirit does intercede, and what I want to pray for right now is a miracle, because this fellowship sounds, looks, and smells and feels very, very similar to the relationship you have with your Son, with your Spirit, this Holy Trinity that we can't comprehend, and that you bring us into that. So I would ask that by your grace, through preaching your word, singing your word, praying your word, baptizing in your name, taking communion in remembrance of your Son, and living life together in koinonia, you would change us, each and every one of us. That's my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.